Reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 13 to 26. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, once again, good morning, everyone. And it's a privilege to be here to preach the word of God. And actually, Lucas just messaged Pastor Hugh. And he said, if they're available to preach, like, "Well, I'm not available, I'm busy." But then we just swap our schedule. So mainly I'm going to introduce myself. So my name is Ariel, and my wife is at the back. So I've been part of Shatin Church for 5 years and 6 months now. So technically I'm doing the missions, I'm the music director, and the Philippines Fellowship in the church. So three departments under my head. It's kind of busy for me, but praise God, I'm happy to be here with you guys and want to share the word of God with you. So we have some slides here. So yeah, we just read in Matthew 19, verse 13, 20 to 26. And I hope that God will speak to us through his word. And yeah. So if you know, in just in January 3, 2023 this year, according to the research and report of GoBankingRates.com, here are the top 10 richest people in the world. So you can see that there, probably you heard Elon Musk, he's a billionaire. But no, there's someone now in the top one. And they're not just multi-millionaire dollar, but there are a billion of dollars that they earn. And I don't know how stressful it is and how much security they have to put in to protect all this from the hackers. And of course, if you are this person, if you're part of the top 10 richest people in the world, you are always VIP. You are the very important person in every occasion and gathering that you are going to attend. You are always first in line and having the best treatment. And you look good and you smell good for these people. Like, look at those people. And people will not ask you anymore. They will just like, look at this. They have so much money in their bank. Well, let's look at this famous conversation in the Bible between Jesus and this young rich man. And let's try to understand this very question that was raised by this young man. And the question was, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Now, before we'll go to Jesus' answer, which is on the next verse, Jesus used this opportunity of conversation so that his disciples who were with him might understand what really matters about eternal life. He wants to see them beyond the things that they've heard and see. So the disciples were going through with Jesus. They see Jesus, but then this is the time for Jesus to let my disciples listen to me and heard this conversation. These men asked the most important question of his life. But let's find out what really is the motive behind it. The question was not about what Jesus will do to him, but it's very obvious, the question, what good thing must I do? Meaning, this man who is willing to do by his own effort, his own strength to get eternal life. And Jesus saw his very heart the moment he asked that question. So Jesus replied, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good." Now, let us pause for a while on this statement. These men, the word good, what good thing? That this word will refer to us like which standard he's pointing out. He was aware that he's doing something good to comfort himself, to elevate himself of the good deeds that he has done. He built his confidence according to his own standard and to the eyes of men before he came and asked the teacher. It was an obvious term that the word good that used to compare or judge others or even himself. In other words, this word simply says like, oh, I am better than that guy. I am a good person. Look at those people. So this young man really wanted to get eternal life based on his action, based on his good works. But then Jesus directly answered him that there is only one who is good. And that very moment, the young man already failed based on his standard of what good thing he must do. Because Jesus is referring to the standard of God that was established since before, not to any human standard. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. Let us remind ourselves. Every time we look to him, every time we look to God and realize of who he is, his character, his attributes, we are nothing. We are not even good. We just came from ashes and dust. This man recognizes Jesus as a teacher. Oh, there's a teacher. I should go to him and ask. But he doesn't know. He forget that he is talking to a sinless teacher. He was able to ask the creator of heaven and earth. And Jesus completely understands the motives behind his question, that this man is completely relying on his own good works so that he can have eternal life. What must I do? That is the very question. What must I do? The young man asked. And then Jesus answered his question. As we look at carefully, Jesus answered by mentioning the second half of the Ten Commandments. And when the young man heard that to get eternal life is just by keeping these commandments, I think he was relieved. Oh, that's easy. All these commandments I have kept. And according to the Gospel of Mark, he kept that gospel since he was very young. He was a boy. Oh, very easy. I'm a very good person now, but it's interesting to know that Jesus did not start mentioning the Ten Commandments starting from number one. No, he starts, but instead he started commandment number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. On 8, you shall not give false testimony. 9, and honor your father and mother, which is commandment number 5, and love your neighbor as yourself, which was not included in the Ten Commandments. Why is that? Interesting to know that Jesus really pulled out the second greatest commandment. As Matthew recorded it in chapter 22, verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus mentioned it just to confirm that before loving your neighbor as yourself, you should have done the first one. In verse 20, all this I have kept, and the young man said, what do I still lack? Look at the follow-up question. What do I still lack? He was starting to realize that, oh, it's not complete. He thought he had already done it before. And why is that? Jesus was trying to reveal what's really in the heart of this man. Jesus did not argue and debate with him, but instead, Jesus gave him a bit of a clue so that he might, and he himself, discovered what is really the true meaning of this commandment. The fact is, Jesus was testing him. If he really understands the law, if he really truly sees the message of each commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Oh, I'm not an adulterer. Jesus did not tell him, hey, you've missed the meaning of this law that I've taught at the Sermon on the Mount. You are not in my class, no. But look at in Matthew 5, 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And Jesus could stop him and say, I know why you're asking me. I know why you are coming to me. You're not really worshiping me, or you're not really worshiping God. You can go away now. But no, Jesus was very patient and gracious to him. Jesus wants him to see the real condition of his heart and not be blinded by his own good works and not blinded by what he really treasured. Look at in verse 21, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. In other words, this young man's effort, his good work was not enough at all. Let us be careful here. Jesus was not setting a universal law that whoever wants to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to sell all your possessions, your property, withdraw all your money in your bank and give it to the poor. No. What was Jesus doing here was to reveal the true condition of his heart of who really is his God. And now it falls back now to the first commandment. You shall know other gods before me. And it's now completely messed up. Oh, there's something wrong in me. He thought he's keeping the commandments so that he might have eternal life. He thought his good works were enough to pay, were enough to bridge the gap, were enough to open the door for eternal life. And verse 22 says, this is the climax. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And now we can see the real problem. We can see what really matters to him, his great wealth, which is very hard for him to give up. He was tested if there's any gods before the true and living God. And Jesus knew that he did not want to hear this kind of message. In fact, he is a law breaker. In Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus exposed the heart of this young rich man. His self-righteousness did not save him. We can see here that his faith is not really to what the law says, what the commandment says, but his faith is in his great wealth. The story that we have heard this morning should remind us, number one, that our salvation should not be based on our self-righteousness, but on what God has done to us. We are in need of a Savior who alone can rescue us from the condemnation of hell. Probably we have heard this story for so many times and even memorized it. Do not take it lightly, my brothers and sisters, that even this young, rich man who met Jesus face to face, who had this conversation, but still he missed eternal life. He asked the most important question of his life, yet he don't want to hear and apply the answer. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Another thing that we should remind us, our wealth and possessions in this world are temporary. Yes, we are thankful to God that He gave us the ability to think. We are talented, we are skillful in our work. But that's not the main reason why we are here on this planet. When we have this relationship with Jesus, when we met Jesus in our lives, everything will change. We are able to see the things around us in the lens of the gospel. The moment we see our income, the moment we look to our properties, should not be the same as the world does. We are not controlled by these things. Instead, we use them to glorify God's name. My brothers and sisters, we are all nothing without Him. His grace alone enables us to do good works so that we could glorify God's name, not ours. Our good works are just byproduct of our encounter with Jesus. It is the result of our salvation. And let us be careful that we are not blinded to the things that do not matter for God's kingdom. Everything that we treasure on this earth, either material things, our work, our family, our friends, and whatever it is, should not hinder us to follow Jesus. And if this is your first time hearing about this story between Jesus and this young rich man, read it again. Have a Bible. Read it again. Meditate on it. It is not a coincidence or accident that you hear this message. It is God's plan for you to hear that He alone can save us by His grace. Jesus is gracious. He is compassionate. And He did not judge on the spot of this rich young man. He did not judge that guy, that man. Instead, He gave him a chance to reveal what's on his heart. And having eternal life is not by human works, but by putting our faith in Him alone. Trusting Jesus and what He did on the cross so that we might have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, it is not late for you and me to ask for forgiveness and ask Jesus to come to our hearts and change us from inside to out. Do not just keep it by yourself. Share the love of Jesus to others. Share the grace, the salvation to those who are lost, to those who are wandering and feel hopeless. I will share this story. When Emily and I went to India for a mission trip in 2019, we visited this mall church, and every morning we love to sit at the front of this very tiny church, and then we have coffee and facing this coconut farm. And in front of the church, there's not a really wide road, and there's a lot of cows passing by, and sometimes, you know, you heard these bells on the cows, like oh, I was just amazed. And imagine the smell and the noise every morning. Like, look at this. And we just love to smile. Filipinos love to smile. Like, hi, hello. We don't know the language, but we just want to, hi, good morning. And I think it was our third day. This one Hindu lady kind of looked confused every time she saw us. Like, who are these people? They are not Chinese. They are not Americans, too. But who are these people? So she approached us. And of course, we couldn't understand here. So we asked the wife of the pastor and to translate to us what she was talking about. And then Sister Olivia, the wife of the pastor, told us that she's asking for a Bible and she wants to know more about Jesus. And Emily, my wife, immediately grabbed the Bible that we bought, of course, in their own language. He handed it to her. And Imalyn was just crying because we are not expecting that this Hindu lady who worships thousands of gods and goddesses asked for a Bible because she wants to know more about Jesus. And I was just holding my tears, you know. Man, like, we don't cry. We will not cry. But back in my mind, like, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, that you opened her eyes. Maybe it's our smile, or she was just wondering who are we. But I guess it was against plan, orchestrating the time. And praise God, the Hindu lady, her name is Buji, you can see that in the photo, had started joining the Sunday service after we left and back here in Hong Kong. I think she might have asked a lot of questions about Jesus, but I believe she had the answers through the scriptures. And we continue to pray for her that she will continue to encounter the true and living God every time she will read and open God's word, and God will change her heart. She was willing to give up her treasure. She's not that rich lady, but she gave up her Hindu worship, her rituals that she spent a lot of money probably. And maybe her business will drop because everyone will know in the village that she's not a Hindu anymore. And so many things that could happen to her. But then she decided to come and ask for a Bible and started to join the fellowship and worship Jesus. We are so amazed how God works and reveals his love and mercy to all of us. It might not be the same situation or in our case, but for sure there's plenty of opportunity to share the gospel to the people around us. Probably we are scared to open our mouth, but I know the Holy Spirit will enable us to be bold and will strengthen us if we allow him to work in us and through us. There are so many people like this young rich man who need real salvation. Yes, we are living in this modern high-tech society, but sometimes we are so worried about our future. What will happen to the economy? And we try to work so hard so that our future is secured. And slowly, we are forgetting the one who gives us another day to live. We forget the one who gives us wisdom and the knowledge so that we could work effectively. Like, we are so preoccupied and focused to our business. And we forget that we have a great God who allows us to wake up every morning, have our coffee, to see our families in the morning. Let's continue to put our hope in God like little children, as Jesus mentioned at the beginning in verse 14. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In other words, we are encouraged to come to Jesus completely without anything that holds us back, ready to come and follow Jesus. Now, if you observe your children, we don't have yet a kid, but if you observe your children, especially when they're still little, every time you call their name, you open your arms, they will come to you without any doubt. They will say, "Come to daddy." They will not like, "Oh, are you my daddy?" No. They will just run and hug unto you, no doubt, because they know who is calling. They know that they are safe and secured. They know that they will not be abandoned. And so Jesus stopped the disciples from hindering these little children to come to him. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these little children. They do not worry what they are going to wear or eat. Of course, we should give proper attention. But then they are completely dependent to their parents. The moment we have relationship with Jesus, this is not all about me, myself, and I. This is not about my wealth anymore. Praise God for all his provisions. He's our great provider. And he alone is the center of my heart. And I must worship him. My brothers and sisters in Christ, salvation belongs to our God. And I want to leave you this question. What bothers and hinders you to follow Jesus? Ask Jesus to help you to surrender these things. Do not doubt about it. Why? Look at in verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for reminding us. All of us here are not exempted, but we come to you in humbleness. Lord, anything that holds us back to trust you and put our faith to you, anything that holds us back to put our trust into you, Lord, help us, oh God, by your Spirit, to surrender it to you, to trust it, Lord, everything that we have. We lay down our cares, our burdens at your feet, Father. Thank you so much for the salvation. Thank you so much for the grace that is free forever. And Lord, I pray that Resurrection Church, the whole people here that they are attending and serving, that they will continue their faith growing in you, God. And they have the passion to serve, the passion to share the good news to the people who are lost. And Father, thank you for this word again. We can come to you freely. You are a great help. You are a great provider. And God, we continue to adore you and worship you. We give praises to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.